What's goody, it's Kim, and I'm back with my other motherfucking thing of the day. Yeah, you already know, like, once I'm away for a while, I like to get content. And here we are, it's giving, it has been, this is season 5, episode 17, Cinco y Uno Siete? I think so. I think we did it. So let's get into concerts. Like, it's giving everybody and their motherfucking mom wants to go to a motherfucking concert. And I love that for us. I don't love that for our bank account, but I love that for us. Cause it'd be outside. We're really getting to see artists in their motherfucking prime or out of their prime, but still killing it. And it is beautiful to see. Like, we're already in April, and I've already seen the Love Tour with K. Michelle, Keisha Cole, Trey Songz, and Jaheim. So that tour, motherfucking gave it a, not even gonna front. Like, at first I was like, okay, it's giving, I'm only going for K. Michelle. I've seen Keisha Cole before, although I've seen Keisha Cole before. Before, I've only really gone for K. Michelle. Because I didn't know what Trey Songz was going to give. And I didn't know what Jaheim really gives. Yeah. So, K. Michelle opened up the tour. And when I say she fucking killed it, per usual. And she was sick that day. But she still gave her all. She still did her meet and greets before the show. The seating was perfect. Like, the seating was... We were at the presidential, me and my boo Mika. We were at the presidential. That was the first time I was ever at the presidential, so it was kind of, okay, this is cute. But the seating was good. The seats wasn't as comfortable as like other places I've been, but the seating was cute. Of course, you had the people doing what the fuck they wanted to do next to us. The drunks who go to tours to get drunk. I don't understand that. I'm sorry. I'm the person who actually wants to be there and experience and live in that experience, if that makes sense. I don't want to be intoxicated where I can't. I'm always in the bathroom. Like, I'm always peeing. I'm never in my seat, so I'm missing most of the show. Why would we pay tickets to miss most of the show? Don't know say. But K. Michelle killed it. Embodied it. To me, she was the second best of the night. If I'm being completely honest. And then Jaheim came up right after her. Jaheim opened, but like, okay, thank you everyone. But I don't recall him saying her came to her name. Shady as fuck. Fuck him for that. And then he did his set, his little 1-2, and it didn't give, it was giving off, it was giving, the audience wasn't even fucking with it like that. That's what it was giving a lot. So then, after that, then Trugger came out, and baby, yeah, Trugger was the best of the night. He killed it. And it was just the amount of material that he had, the relevancy, his vocals was actually vocaling that day. I was so proud of him because, baby, like, he's a sex appeal. Like, he gives big dick. He gives all of that. However, comma, I was never a fan of his vocals. I just wasn't. I know he made great music. I know he made good R&B, like, shit that I'm gonna play from years and years and years from now. Definitely got some hits. Like, definitely got, like, You Was in everyone's bedroom when they was making love, when they was making us, well, making the newer generation and shit like that. So it's like, you're definitely a staple, but I was definitely surprised with the vocals. I was like, oh, you coming out strong. I love it. The background, the backdrop, the dancing, just her attentiveness to his fans. Singing happy birthday and just little intricate parts. And maybe because it was just my first time ever seeing him live. Because although, like, he is all of the things that I said, I never pictured me wanting to go see Trey Songz. Like, that was never a goal of mine. But I'm happy that it happened, and I'm happy that I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that tour. 1,000%. And then Keisha Cole, the headliner, closed it the fuck out. When I say close it out, close it the fuck out. And she did her thing. One thing I know Miss Cole wanted us to know is that her ass got fatter. Her ass is getting thick. The way that fucking leotard shit that she had on with the fucking black hat, that body was bodying. The vocals was cute. She never fully gave vocals for me either. But it was cute. I felt like her vocals the first time I actually seen her was better. But she gave more energy this one. It was the dance. It was the playing different songs that we may not even know. Like the deep, deep cuts. But of course, still playing the staple song that she knows she has to play. Because there's every artist that they know that they have to play these staple songs at any concert. Unfortunately, it may get boring to them. But they know that these are the songs that everyone knows. And then I'm just going to, you know, add to, you know, this one and that one. One and a two kind of shit. Like, yeah. And then after that, so that tour, overall, definitely gave 8 out of 10. For me, that was my first group tour as well. So, it was definitely giving a lot of firsts for me this year. In terms of concerts, absolutely, it was giving a lot of firsts. So, for me, this is my perspective. I would have thought that since everyone is coming back, if they're doing group tours at the end, I would want them to be on stage together and to perform a song that they may have created together, or at least think the crowd together and give a bow, instead of just still feeling like kind of separate, like we just glued these people together, but they should never have went on a tour. But it was successful because of the different demographics and dynamics that they bring collectively to make this tour work. But that's the only thing I was a little pet peeved about, for the most part. And, you know, Jaheim just cut down on 1.5 for me. For that type of tour, absolutely. So, the next tour was Daily. And the opener was J-Roll. He is an artist for artists. As he is my boo in my head. He is fine as fuck in my head. His vocals, oh my gosh. He is light-skinned, braided, nice little bib, but I've got a little gut on him. It's given Baptist with R&B. And that's why, like, it really, you know, hit me deep down in my soul. Like, I felt it. I definitely felt it, and I was like, yes. And it definitely made me buy his music instantly. Like, instantly, I was an instant fan when he came out, when he opened the show. He definitely did his thing. I was like, yes, as you should. And then the main motherfucking event, Daily, with my baby, Jesse. And that was the time of our life. She really loved Daily. She put me on to him with a few songs that he has one with Joe Scott. He has one with Amara, the girl from Flower Tree. Yeah, the other girl done when I went solo. Huh. Like, her name is on the top of my tongue right now, but I don't fully remember her name right now. But that song was him. Like, he is definitely R&B, but definitely something else in it. I can't fully describe, like, his genre or, like, him as a person. But when he got on that motherfucking stage, he did his thing. He killed it. Vocals with vocaling. He played us some new shit, which I was pleased with. He about to put out his album that he hasn't put out an album in a few years, he said. But he needed to live life. He needed to experience some shit. So he has something to talk about. And I completely get that, understand that, because I'm the same way, especially with this podcast. Like, that's why I may be some breaks, because I want to experience some shit. I don't want to just continue to do, like, the music shit, even though, like, that's true to my heart. But I want to still deal with some shit, like, experience some shit. And then let's get back to it. Let's get back to the 1 and 2. Because I always wanted to be authentic. And I love how authentic Daily is. To his brand, to his being, to those vocals. And the drummer was drumming. I said, yeah. Always bad. Oh my gosh, and have you ever been to a concert where a person in the audience was like, you're in my motherfucking ear? Like, you're in a concert, they're going to sing. If you wasn't aware of that, you clearly went to the wrong fucking venue. Like, you picked the wrong thing. You picked the wrong activity. Because I'm sorry, in concerts, we sing. We're going to sing. We're going to sing before, while they're warming us up. We're going to sing during. We're going to sing after. Our voice is going to be gone. You know, finito. It's going to be gone. Our voice will be gone. And that's what it is. So Daily was a success. I'm going to give that a 7 out of 8. A cute 7. It was definitely intimate. It was definitely gave me a different experience. Different artist, different experience. Then, we made it to motherfucking Gag City. The date was March 20th. Was it 30th? Yep, March 30th. We were at Madison Square motherfucking Garden. And it was me and my baby Jesse again. And we gave Pink. I'm sure y'all see me with my pink hair. My pink little, my blue tie-dye pants. Blue, pink, yellow theme going on. A pink and black checkered shirt, and it was given white loafers. It was given I was sexy. I was that nigga. Like, I came out to play. I came out to Gag City. Like, if you're not gonna do Gag City right, don't go to Gag on the fucking city. It's that simple. But we had a time. So this was my first Nicki Minaj concert. And you and I both know, like, that is my boo, that is my baby, like, that is my top three favorite artists of all time. Like, that, like, she goes in. And I love when she goes in. That's a Sagittarius in us. But this was my first time ever seeing her in concert. And this is my first time ever going to a rap concert. Because I'm not into rap like that. Like, I'm an R&B nigga. Like, I love R&B. I love pop. I love people, preferably girls, obviously, who knows how to fucking put on a fucking performance, who knows how to give it to us, with vocals and dancing intertwined. And a lot of people can't do that. A lot of people are pigeonholed themselves to doing one thing and perfecting that one thing, but still doing one thing. And that is okay if that's what you want to do. It is what it is. But it was, we got there like 7 something. So they started playing some of her music, of course, getting the crowd a little ready. And then we get her. And she comes off the motherfucking stage. First of all, let's detail the stage. So the stage was centered, but it had a nice little catwalk, and it was 2 levels. No, it technically was 3 levels, because it was 2 different set of stairs that she had to come down. Yeah, because she started from the top. It was stairs right there. And then it was like this main little part where she usually like played in. And then she utilized the catwalk. So that first outfit, bomb as fuck. And then you playing Bobby Dangerous. We starting with Bobby Dangerous? Like, that's how we felt? Bobby Dangerous. And Dangerous. So, 666 angel numbers. Come on. Crowd went fucking wild. We went bananas. Like, I lost my voice that day. 1000%. When I say, she gave her all in this tour. She gave her all. I know. You know. Mom is not a performer like that. Mom is not going to dance like that. She will give you one too. And she's going to perfect that little one too that she going to give you. She's going to move. She's going to twerk. She's going to dip. She's going to get on the floor. She's going to have a little leg action. This is who Nicki fucking Minaj is. If you don't like that, go see the other bitches. Go see them. They're out there. They're out there waiting. Those seats is waiting to be filled. But no. You're coming to Mama's show. You're coming to the Queen's show. So you're gonna get the Queen's reaction. So she brought out 50 Cent. Who brought out two other people. Don't know who the fuck they are. But she brought out 50 Cent for them to do Beat Remix. 50 gave. Then 50 went to Candy Shop and his. Did a little G-Unit in there. It was the New York aspect of it. I wish, this is my personal wish, I wish she would have Foxy. So she could have had that Coco Chanel moment. So she could have really gagged the girls. And really got them mad. But that's just my wishful thinking. 50 was cool. 50 did her thing. I was pleasantly happy with what 50 did. Big Gag City. Picture this. You know how she did her artwork for the album was based off the train, based off of the New York City train aspect. She brought the train to life in Gag City. She brought that fucking train to life in Gag City. The backdrop was everything. The lights, the pinkness. The theme, just the power of what she holds was everything. And then we get Monica. And Monica. I'm not gonna front. At first, I was kind of scared. Even though I love Monica down, like, Monica's like one of my R&B girls. Like, she's definitely top five on my list of R&B girls. Whether you like her or not, whether you like her voice or not, she gives. Vocally, she gave. She gives and she gave. And she will continue to give. Some artists will have days that they don't sound their best. And it is perfectly fine. Not everyone's going to perfect. Perfect. Like, not make a mistake. But everyone's going to have a day that they don't sound their best. Or whether it's to us or whether it's to them. We may be like, oh, she fucking killed it, but she feels like, oh, that's how I found it? I wasn't giving that day. I don't know. But Monica gave it. Monica, I was in a fucking trance. Angel of mine. So come. You. Come on. For you, I will. I will cross the ocean for you. I will go and give you the moon. I will feed your family, your faith, anything you need. You should have known better than to think I will leave. You should have known better than to fight me. Matter if you're up, matter if you're down. You better be around. She gave. It was this kind of pinkish, burgundy-ish little cat suit that she was now. Little leotard that she's doing with the pink fur over it. Giving body. Only thing for her, I wish. On a star. She took the fur off a little bit. Let's get into some things. Let's really be gag motherfucking city. Gag City 8. And then the end when Nikki closed it out. As she said, her ones and twos, she spit bars, continues to be fucking successful. These bitches are telling you to fucking twerk and steal from your fucking man. This is what these bitches is doing. Be a thought, be a how. Nikki's always gave genuine love. She always told you to be the best you can be. Be that doctor, be that lawyer, be that artist, be that this, be that that. Be whatever you want to be, but be better. Perfect your shit. Get your fucking degree. She's telling you because she was not able to fully get her degree. So that's something that she wishes for y'all. So you can never deny her power. And then end it with Moment for Life and just the crowd. I was literally in a trance. And I loved every part of it. I'm not gonna lie. And I took a while to do this video. For that reason. For me not fully understanding or liking the process in the beginning. When I first initially, like, was in that, I was like, oh. Mama taking a lot of costume breaks. Her backdrop for when you see it, if you're not that close, like the projector or whatever, the shit's on the side of the stage. I ain't really on, so I'm not really probably seeing you unless I try to zoom in and my camera was not acting the greatest that day. But when I really sit here and think of it and utter the experience that I did have. And this experience. She rapped every fucking word. Vocals, mics was on. Mic was on. This was definitely one of the best tours I've been on. And you know me, I go on tours. I do this. I don't know exactly out of the top 10 where it lands as of yet. I'm still molding over. Cause I've been through some concerts and I'm trying to figure out like, cause they're all gonna give different. Cause they're all different artists, they're all different genres. Or similar genres. But so they're all gonna have something different because they're different people. And I'm just trying to figure out what they'll look like for each of the people, if that makes sense. But this tour, definitely, I'm gonna give it 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10. I want to follow your farm here. I'm gonna tell you why. The backdrop, the Megatron projector kind of shit, like that you see like in the back of her, like when you're not that close. That could have been clearer, that could have been better, that could have stayed on, that could have moved so people on the side, on the upper part, could see. Like, my seat was decent. I wasn't all the way up, I was like a level up from the ground. But it was still hard for me to see because it was still far. That's Madison Square Garden. And I wish I had that Favio moment that New Jersey had. I wish Foxy came out. And not for nothing, I definitely wish do have, I'm sorry, I wish you brought her ice rice a little bit. Not that you needed her, but just to do the Barbie, and then y'all could have did, the other shit that y'all did. The shit before, Barbie. So that shit, y'all fucking, you ate. You killed that shit. But ultimately, costumes top tier. When I say top tier, like, you, this concert, by far, is your best concert. You elevated the playing field for these rap girls. You elevated it. You showed the girls how to perfect your craft. You showed the girls to just be yourself. Literally, be genuinely you. And if people don't like it, people don't like it. That's cool. But as long as you like it, you love it, that's all that fucking matters. Because you always will have a fan base. You will always get. You're showing the girl to pop out. Well, pop out and do better than me. And Nicki will be okay with that. Because Nicki's already solidified. Nicki's already, this is a sold out concert. Every show so far has been sold out. And Madison Square Garden was the show that she revenued the most from. And I was part of that revenue. I was part of that history. I was part of that time, that moment that we shared together. Nicki, I love you. I always will love you. Keep your motherfucking stilettos on these bitches' heads. Because they're not rapping like you. They're not writing like you. They want to emulate you so bad. They want to be you. And I get that. But you can't. They can't. There's only one Nicki Minaj. There will always be this one Nicki Minaj. That's it. That's all. Next concert I am going to that I'm excited for is Mary J. Blige's. And just that. That is next month. I'm going with Mika and Jesse. I cannot fucking wait. Then after that, it's definitely going to be that Missy tour. Missy, Sierra, Busta Rhymes. So the only person I think that's going to outdo Nicki for this tour, visually, maybe not hit-wise per se. Nah, I don't know, because that's three different people. Nicki can definitely hold her own, but those are three different giants. But visually, it's going to be Out of This World. Like, the title of the fucking concert is Out of This World. So I know that they about to fucking eat it. I have to be there. I have to. It has to happen. And then I'm scared, and I'm low-key afraid, because I know Beyonce's coming back out. I know she is. I know she's going to go on tour either the end of this year or beginning of next year. But I feel like it's going to be in Vegas. I feel like it's going to be on a spare. It's definitely giving spare. But I'm not going to get too deep into her, because I thought she about to get her own episode. So we could really deep dive into this masterpiece that she just gave us. She definitely did. However, let's get back into motherfucking Nicki Minaj. Let's get back into fucking Gag City. So, I love the album. As you already know, I love the interview that she came out of the album with, and I'm so surprised that she still did not give the video yet. So I feel like she has something cooking, cause I don't know if she's doing a full deluxe or remix album to it. I know she's still working on a documentary, cause she wants to give us a documentary, and I feel like within the documentary it would make sense for her to give us a visual album, cause I know it's gonna be a visual album. I know it is. You cannot not give us visuals at all and think that you're not gonna give us a visual album. Like, I'm not booboo the fool. I'm not a nigga to play with. Play with your dick, do not play with me. But we're gonna get a visual album. And I'm excited for that. I literally cannot wait. But I feel like she's gonna drop the second album before she goes for the visual album. Cause I feel like she said that she recorded so many songs, so she has enough material. And I feel like if she drops this next album, it's not gonna be nothing like Pink Friday. That album is gonna be so fucking braggadocious. She's gonna be in her fucking bag, dragging bitches and niggas. And I'm here for it. I'm ready for her to drag people. I love when she drags people on songs. I don't like when she does it on the internet. Because that's where she exceeds at. And the accent is so gagging. Like, she literally just had a few days ago. Well, last night, she brought out fucking Big Sean for dance. Performance 8. Love the energy. A few days ago, she brought out the Super Freaky Girls. She brought out Akbark. She brought out Malibu motherfucking Mix. She brought out JT. She brought out Bia. Now, what was the fifth girl? Who was the fifth girl? Fuck. Who was it? The other girl. Because I know it was six of them altogether. But the other girl. And they motherfucking ate. I love that they were all on the train together. I love that she gave them that shine. And then Philly. Come on. But Gag City with everything. I'm excited for the other tours that I'm about to be on to come. So I can really just do an episode and just tour and tour life. Because I'm a tour junkie. I love tours. If I can be at a tour, I'm going to be at a tour. 1,000%. This is Kimi. This is my motherfucking tea of the day. This was Gag City. That's the title. Laters.